The U.S. grants Huawei a temporary reprieve.
There is perhaps a sense that some of this hit Huawei a little bit too hard, a little bit too fast.
And European firms go on a buying spree, raising concerns about debt levels.
They can get really cheap money, basically, to fund these acquisitions.
Plus, a judge rejects President Trump's request to block a subpoena for his financial records. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we get into our main story this morning, the latest twist in the ongoing Huawei saga, here's what you missed. A federal judge ruled that President Trump can't block a subpoena from a House committee seeking financial records from his longtime accounting firm, Mazars USA. U.S. District Judge Amit Mehta ruled that the subpoena, which sought 8 years of financial statements and other records related to President Trump, his real estate company, his foundations, and other entities, was on solid legal footing. It deals a blow to the president's efforts to head off Democratic congressional investigators. And the European Central Bank's efforts to revive growth have spurred a flurry of investment and deal-making. Interest rates are still at historic lows. One problem, however, that we report today is that a bunch of those deals are happening outside of Europe, mostly in the U.S., in fact. From Germany, our finance reporter Patricia Kausman explains why that's a problem.
One of the issues that you have is that French indebtedness, so the amount of debt that French companies have gone up a lot in a time where a lot of countries in the Eurozone are seeing debt going down, because that was one of the biggest problems during the crisis that began in 2008 and went through 2015, is that everybody got highly indebted, right? And one of the things that they had to do was get rid of the debt. And what the French are doing is sort of the opposite because of that. And one of the issues is that, of course, the European Central Bank is trying to boost the economy, the domestic economy in these countries. And France, the French companies, by investing abroad, so buying companies in other places, is not necessarily doing what the ECB wanted it to do, which is spend money at home.
And Tesla's stock fell sharply on Monday, at one point hitting a 2-year low. Our reporter Sam Goldfarb explains what led to renewed investor skepticism.
It's probably just an accumulation of things. It's been dropping for a while now. With Tesla, it's always sometimes people get optimistic about the company, usually after a good earnings report. Its last earnings report that was reported last month for the first quarter wasn't good, one of its worst in its in recent history. And so since then, investors basically have been finding all sorts of reasons not to like the company.
Now, our main story this morning. It's Huawei again, because there's been a shift. Late yesterday, U.S. officials said they would grant a handful of temporary exemptions to an export blacklist against the company. That's after Google said it would suspend some Android services due to the government ban. So I once again rang up our tech reporter in Hong Kong, Dan Strumpf. So Dan, 24 hours later, it seems like an entirely different situation. What's changed and why?
So the situation has changed, but it hasn't changed that much. So the main change in the last 24 hours is that the Commerce Department is granting a sort of 90-day window for certain suppliers of Huawei to continue providing some of those services. So it's not a blanket reprieve. It's pretty narrowly tailored to only specific types of suppliers. So, for example, security updates on Huawei handsets are now allowed to go through. Now, those security updates would be largely made by Google, which runs the Android operating system. And so Google will be allowed to continue to provide some of those security updates to Huawei handset users. Other types of crucial equipment that goes into, say, rural networks in the U.S., that use Huawei gear, that kind of equipment can continue to be supplied to Huawei, so Huawei can continue to provide some of those services. So there is a bit of a reprieve for Huawei, but it's not totally out of the woods.
What rationale did the U.S. give for the reprieve?
Well, you know, you can read into it that there is perhaps a sense that some of this hit Huawei a little bit too hard, a little bit too fast. There was some pushback in the last 24 hours from some suppliers of Huawei and from Huawei itself that, you know, it needs a little bit of a window to kind of, well, essentially adapt to this new reality. The Huawei is hugely reliant on American companies for a lot of crucial components. And so the 90-day window is basically kind of a grace period that you know, allows some essentially crucial services that Huawei offers and that Huawei suppliers offer to kind of continue to do business while the company sort of adapts.
And then we heard some pretty defiant comments from Huawei's CEO this morning. What did he have to say?
Yeah, defiant, it pretty much hits the nail on the head. So Ren Zhengfei, who's the CEO of Huawei, spoke on state media early this morning in China, basically saying, we don't need the U.S., but thanks anyway. He went on to describe how the company has been preparing for this moment for a while. He thanked American suppliers for everything they've done for the company. And he even went on to say words to the effect of the U.S. underestimates Huawei and we don't need you anyway. So it's definitely true that Huawei has been preparing for this moment for a while. They've been stockpiling crucial inventories that they've needed. They've been investing heavily for years now in their own supply chain and diversifying their supply chain to mitigate the effects of supply disruptions like this. You've got the Huawei CEO now striking a rather defiant tone in response to the U.S. And so this is a company, by the way, that Ren Zhengfei founded. This is his baby. This is all he's done with his career, basically. So in many ways, Huawei is defined by Ren. It is his company. He runs the show. To some extent, this is him taking what the U.S. is doing quite personally.
To follow all the latest twists and turns in this story, you can head to WSJ.com. On to markets. Asian markets were mixed after U.S. stocks closed lower for the day on Monday. One key thing that investors will be paying attention to today? Comments from Fed Chair Jay Powell warning about the economic risks of rising corporate debt. He said this in a speech late on Monday. Our markets reporter Mike Bird explains what that means for investors.
So it's an interesting question. The difficult way of parsing this speech for markets, you can look at it from two directions. One direction is, if the Fed really wanted to clamp down on the amount of borrowing that people were doing, they could increase interest rates. It's one way of stopping borrowers from, you know, accessing as much credit. They're not going to want to borrow as much if interest rates are higher. On the other hand, the higher corporate debt is, you might, as the Fed, want to keep interest rates lower to protect those companies from the sort of negative effects of higher interest rates. So it's a difficult one to pass. Now, what the Fed's been talking about a lot this year is that they are happy to go slower in terms of the increases in interest rates in the future, or even that they might be done increasing rates for now. It's difficult to put this speech into that camp quite clearly, but it's not entirely clear where this sort of line of reasoning is going from the Fed yet.
And now, the Sked. Here's what to look forward to later today.
Well, we're fighting all the subpoenas. Look, these aren't like impartial people. The Democrats are trying to win 2020.
That was President Trump in April vowing to fight all subpoenas from Democrats. Yesterday, he followed through on that promise. The latest subpoena had been issued to former White House counsel Don McGahn, who was set to testify in front of Congress today. However, late yesterday, the White House blocked him from doing so, sending a memo from the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel, which argued that Congress can't compel the president's senior advisors to testify about their official duties. A lawyer for Mr. McGahn said he would respect the president's instruction. Mr. McGahn is seen as a key witness to the president's efforts to curtail and shut down the special counsel's Russia investigation. And about 10,000 Baltimore government computers remain frozen 2 weeks after a cyber attack. The hack has delayed home sales and halted water bills. On May 7th, hackers demanded an undisclosed sum to unlock computers, which the city has refused to pay so far. Baltimore's mayor has warned that it could take months to recover some systems. The hack, Baltimore's second in 15 months, has underscored how local governments are often more vulnerable than private companies to attacks. Finally, no question today, just a historic milestone. Today is the 100th anniversary of the day that the House passed the 19th Amendment. Many of you probably remember from your history classes that this was the one that gave women the right to vote. Suffragette Susan B. Anthony said at the time that there will never be complete equality until women themselves help to make laws and elect lawmakers. As of today, there are 131 women serving in the 116th Congress, making up nearly a quarter of voting members. That's the highest in history. That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.